fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to talk about the glory and majesty of Jesus, inspired by the passage from 17th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, talking about the story of the Transfiguration. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program so far this week, I'd encourage you to just go to our website at renewalministries.net. The radio programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them on whatever device you use to be able to listen to them at your leisure. While you're there, cruise the website. There's a lot of good stuff there. Or browse the website, I guess is what I was trying to say. A lot of free talk material, booklets. All of our television programs are there. And we've created this stuff to help you understand and remember who you are so that you can walk in a clear and secure identity in Christ and be the son of God, daughter of God that God himself has made you to be. You know well how much the enemy works to try to steal that from us, to take it away, and how the daily pressures of life, the disappointments, the battles, the sicknesses, the betrayals, the hurt that can happen in life, the dysfunction and the rest of it can steal the glory that belongs to us, and we can walk with a false identity of who we are. And then we operate out of that identity at times with discouragement, disappointment, and self-criticism in a negative way. Kind of all kinds of things can happen in our minds and hearts that lead us to see ourselves as something other than what Christ has made us to be. And then we operate out of that, and we kind of reproduce it then in our lives. And it begins to lay hold of us, and it affects people around us. Jesus wants us to live in freedom. He's given us his Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And what the Spirit of God has come to do is to give us a share in Christ's life, in the Christ life, the life that's in Jesus. And the Spirit is the one through whom which we are born again. We're born again by water and the Spirit in the sacrament of baptism. We become a new creation. We actually have real power to live a different way of life, a new way of life. We have a new capacity now, a new heart, and a capacity to have a renewed mind and to start thinking about ourselves and the world and the kingdom and your destiny and your purpose differently. It's true. It's really there. And we're meant to do it in a communion of brothers and sisters in the church and given the sacraments to feed us, to strengthen us, to be able to do that, to share ultimately. This is why the Eucharist is so beautiful. Not only do we partake of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, we stand before Calvary. Now, Jesus died once for all. He's not being crucified over and over and over again. Jesus died one time, one sacrifice for the salvation of the whole world. But our entire identity is revealed in that act, that loving act by which Jesus Christ saved the world. That death on a cross that destroyed the power of sin and death, the world, the flesh, the devil, the hold on humanity. We see the heart of God. We see the sinful heart of man. We see man's destiny in the person of Jesus Christ, what we're called to be and how we're called to live. Jesus laid down his life for us. He laid down his life in obedience to the Father. For the joy that was set before him, Scripture says he endured the cross. What's the joy? The joy, first of all, is the Father. He's the beloved Son of the Father. Jesus said to the apostles in John chapter 14, he said, I do everything the Father commands me to do because I want the whole world to know I love the Father. You see how Jesus lives under the command of the Father and it's total freedom. It's absolute. It's the joy of his heart. It's not a burden. It's not something he has to grate under. It's not something he wants to get out from under. It's not something he doesn't think is fair. It's his glory. It's his food, is to do the will of the Father. That's what Jesus showed us. That's the way. That's exactly what you and I are called. That's what the apostles did. As they begin to grasp by God's grace the story of the Transfiguration, Peter gets a sneak preview of the reality of what's ultimately going to be revealed in God's plan of salvation for the world, the glory of God fully present in the person of Jesus Christ, shining on a human face, changes everything. The destiny of humanity is revealed in Jesus Christ. That's why we have to get this straight, friends. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. There is no hope in anyone else. Period. Yeah, we can learn some good stuff. We can learn some good morality. There's some light that can be revealed and other religious leaders and all of that to the degree that they're authentically trying to seek the one true God. God in His mercy certainly can show them light. But they're not all equal paths to the same destiny. That's what I was taught. I'll never forget a retreat when I was in the seminary many years ago by a priest who came. It's just not true. Other paths can give us some human wisdom, but they're not salvific. They don't give us what we need. And what do we need? We need divine life. We need the mystery of God's plan totally revealed. Here's 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy. He, in a nutshell, describes Christianity. The mystery of our religion, this is it, he says. He was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated in the spirit. He was seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. Jesus was taken up into glory. Humanity has a future because in the flesh of Jesus Christ, we've passed from death to life. The new creation has begun in a person, Jesus. This is the good news. Let me read it again, 1 Timothy 3:16. There's another good 3:16 passage to commit to memory. The mystery of our religion. Jesus was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated in the spirit. What does that mean? All the way through his life, really, the Holy Spirit was vindicating the word of Christ because he was performing signs, wonders, miracles, even the raising of the dead, driving out demons by the spirit that was present in Jesus himself. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations. The nations is what? The Gentile, the non-Jewish world. The gospel began to be preached first to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people. But the light of Christ was meant to come forth from really the vocation of the Jewish people through whom the Messiah would come for the salvation of all mankind. So he was preached among the nations, he was believed on in the world, and he was taken up into glory. He was taken up into glory. Listen to some of the other passages that the apostles give us. Here's John chapter 1, verse 14. John's describing what he saw in Jesus and the beloved Son. He said, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father." The only Son from the Father, from God the Father. And John, the beloved apostle, is telling you and me, if he was sitting in your kitchen today or was in the passenger seat of your car, and you said, "Hey, John, tell me, really, what was it all about? What did you see in Jesus?" He'd look you right in the eye, and he'd say, "We beheld his glory." I love the word beheld. It's not just seeing. It's a way of seeing, but to hold it, to be in awe, to receive it, to behold the majesty of God in Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He reflects the glory of God. He bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. That's glory. That's majesty. That's power. You see why Jesus is entirely unique? I'm sorry, but Muhammad doesn't hold up the universe by his word of power. Neither does Moses, for that matter. Neither does Mary, the queen of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is the one who holds the world, the universe up by the word of his power. John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus praying, "Father, I desire that they behold my glory, which you have given to me." Here's Jesus' prayer. What Jesus wants is for every human being to see his glory, to behold his glory, to have a revelation of his glory. How does that happen? It happens through a working of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel. And Paul, you'll hear it in some of these other passages today, from the apostles. I just got a whole list of them I wanted to put together just to help you see how central this whole concept of glory is in the teaching of the apostles and the gospels and how important it is at the center of life. So here, Romans chapter 3, here Paul's diagnosing the problem, the human problem. Chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. We've said no to God. Jesus revealed to us to the point of the shedding of his blood that he said yes to the Father around every turn. It was the entire point of his life. That's the great secret, friends, that people don't see today. The road to freedom, the road to joy, the road to happiness, the road to ultimate fulfillment. The way is obedience. Drives us crazy. We don't want it. We don't want to obey anybody. We want to be our own master, in charge of everything, designing everything, making our own creation, our own world. It's insane. It's stupid. It's blind creatures, blinded by pride and sin, creating this make-believe world that we can spin because we're made in the image of God. We can create some pretty impressive stuff that can dazzle us a little bit, that can show forth a little bit of glory. But we think it's kind of ultimate glory. That's madness. It's all going to pass away. It's all going to come under judgment. And the real glory is going to be revealed. The glory of God in Jesus Christ and in all those who have said yes to him. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. In order to make known, Paul preached the gospel, he said, to make known the riches of his glory. The riches of the glory of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul calls Jesus the Lord of glory. Isn't that an amazing title, really? He's the Lord of all glory. He sits ultimately on the throne, the highest throne of majestic glory. And thanks be to God, he's not a tyrant. He's not an egomaniac like so many in the world are as soon as we obtain power and glory. He's love itself. He's mercy itself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, I mentioned yesterday. What is this great mystery? What are the riches of it? Christ in you. You who have fallen from glory, he's come to dwell in you, to give you a share of a glory you could never achieve and grasp on your own, but he gives it to you as a gift. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, Paul's talking about, God the Father called you through the gospel, the good news about his son Jesus, for what reason? So that you may obtain the glory that belongs to Jesus Christ. No one else has the glory. No one else can give you the glory. Only Jesus. And friends, it is the only thing you don't want to miss in this world. Everything else is crowding out our attention. It's so crazy. You see the depth of the battle that we're in. We don't even think about this stuff much. And this is the gold, this mystery that's being revealed in the church for your salvation. It's real. It's Christ himself for you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.